All right. Time to do a place-by-place fishing report, Robert. You excited?
Super excited.
Excellent. Hey, so here's the thing, though. You know, we usually do these from the Fish and Franks World Headquarters in the bustling metropolis of Charlotte Harbor. But today is, it's a holiday weekend, and we thought if we went into the shop that we'd probably get mobbed and people would be coming in and keeping us from doing this report. So we decided to set aside a bit of time in the morning and do this report from Robert's lanai. So if you hear any traffic noise going by, that's because there's traffic going by. If you hear any boats in the background, that's because we're overlooking the boats in the background and just seeing what's going on out here. So, a little different way to do the place-by-place fishing report, hoping that the volume comes across well because I'm recording this on my phone. But hey, you know what? Sometimes that's just the way it is. So, let's see what we can do here today with the place-by-place fishing report. Now, Robert, would you like to start with the traditional Peace River area, or would you like to do what we've been doing and start with the tarpon reports?
I don't care.
I'm leaving it up to you. I'm giving you an executive decision.
Peace River.
Okay, excellent. Then, in that case, this fishing report starts with the Peace River and Harbor Heights area upriver along with Shell Creek. Robert, what have we been hearing?
Oh, not a whole lot.
No? A little slow?
A little slow.
Huh. Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's because it's getting hot, number one. But number two, so many people, there's been a lot of very few reports for inshore altogether because so many people are chasing tarpon and getting ready for the opening red snapper season.
Which is actually open today.
Right.
It's open right now as we speak, as we record this.
And there's people probably already got their limit by now.
I would think so.
So, yeah. So it's been a hodgepodge, to say the least, of reports.
Definitely. Well, okay. I mean, we'll take what we can get, but we know that there's fish up there. We know that there's juvenile tarpon rolling around up there. We know that there's little snook up there because there always are.
Yep.
I'd bet you we could find some black drum underneath the bridge. I'll bet we could catch some Mayan cichlids and some sand bream around the docks if we tried.
Probably.
So, I mean, a lack of reports in this case doesn't necessarily equate to a lack of fish.
Right.
I just want to make that clear.
Still,
but we don't actually have any reports.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Well, in that case, take it down to the Darst Park boat ramp I-75 bridges area.
Guy got into a couple whiting there and a couple of black drum. And he did see some juvenile tarpon roll.
Okay.
But that was my one and only report.
Okay. If you're going down there, how would you be fishing?
I'd just be taking shrimp.
Fishing, you know, along the pilings area, or?
Yeah, shrimp and just some paddle tails.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Hold on, let me write that down.
And I would not be going, making myself crazier. Yeah, it's just, there's too much stuff to try to figure out.
You okay.
Know, as far as baits and all that stuff, just keep it simple, because there's just not enough fish activity to want to sit there and, I'm not going to go try to catch white bait. I'm not going to get cut bait. You know, it's just, it's not a hot and heavy enough spot for me to want to analyze it that much.
Gotcha. Well, how about the US 41 bridges? Are those hot and heavy?
Yeah. A lot of people have been hiding there because of the shade. There's also been a lot of little fry bait around it. So guys have been catching jacks, like up to 10 pounds jacks. The mangrove snapper is starting to move out of the canals and stuff to get ready to head offshore, so the bridge is starting to stack up with some snapper. Been a lot of short cobia and actually a couple of legal cobia caught off of it.
Okay. And whiting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been getting lots of pictures on the Fish and Franks Fishing Club group of whiting that people are, they're not knowing what it is, and partly because the ones that we're seeing up inside the harbor are not the bright silver whiting that we're used to seeing out there on the beach.
No.
They're
real dark.
Real dark. And kind of blotchy colored, and people looking at it like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So, we're getting a lot of identification requests. Which, for a minute, I thought people were actually trolling me. Because you'd get one, you'd answer it, and then the next day, there'd be one or two more, and then the day after that, there'd be one or two more. It's like, come on, guys. Don't you ever look through the posts here?
No.
Yeesh.
Why would they do that?
I guess it's easier to just ask.
It is.
But anyway, I kept
plus
answering.
Plus, there are some days where it's pretty sporty on there where you had to go back a long damn ways to find something that was posted last night.
Well, that's the downside of having a popular Facebook group, Robert. We should have warned you about this.
Yeah.
So.
That's why it's just easier.
All right. So there's the 41 bridges. Let's talk a little bit about the Lashley Seawall.
Nothing.
Okay. The Bayshore Pier doesn't exist. Can't talk about that. Port Charlotte Beach Pier still doesn't exist. Can't talk about that. Spring Lake Park, though?
Nothing. I got no reports there.
All right. Well, there should be some reports after today, because not only is every space taken out there, but also there's at least half a dozen people fishing off the bridge.
Okay.
I just drove past it.
There you go.
I know they're there. So one of y'all who was out there fishing, call Robert and give him a report, would you? Because that's how these reports happen anyway. Robert?
Yep.
Contact information?
941-625-3888. The shop phone number.
And ask for Robert.
Yep.
Or if you know where he lives, you can...
No.
You can go to the bridge and you can shout it down to him.
No.
Don't come on the property.
No. It's MySpace. Leave me alone.
You have a MySpace still? Wow. You're old.
Yes.
The salt and brackish Port Charlotte canals.
Let's see. There's been a lot of sand brim, surprisingly. Mangrove snapper. The black drum are starting to come through a little bit more. Not hearing a lot of people catching them, but they're seeing them. And then there's been some little peanut snook. So, it's been all right.
Okay. Peanut snook.
Peanut snook. Little guys.
Little salty ones?
SM all. Small.
SM all. All right, I'm going to write that down too. The Elgin Pier, of course, doesn't exist, but people are fishing underneath the bridge. People are fishing from on top of the bridge too, even though it's very specifically posted no fishing, and even though you're standing 2 feet away from cars that are going by at 70 miles an hour, they're still out there doing it.
Yeah.
I'm watching them. Yeah. So, any reports?
It's like the Tarcalous River in Costa Rica. You got a 2-foot sidewalk standing over crocodiles.
Well, yeah, but that's Costa Rica, and you expect that stuff there.
I know.
This is
still sketchy.
You know, Florida's a lot tamer than it used to be. Although, I guess Florida Man still exists.
Yeah. So they're catching a lot of snook there at night. They've caught a couple of cobia there during the day and some mangrove snapper underneath the bridge itself. And a few customers have been seeing the juvenile tarpon rolling first thing in the morning, like little babies, like 10 to 20 pounders.
Okay. Now, I have not been down there to actually see this happening, but I've had several reports of not just, you know, the occasional nice mangrove snapper, but like limits of nice mangrove snapper.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, the bare minimum 10-inch keepers either, like 12 to 16-inch fish.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
So if you're going down there and you wanted to target those fish, which, by the way, half the people are calling red snapper.
Yeah, I know.
That's
normal.
If you wanted to target those fish, what would be your method? How would you go about it?
Well, I'm either going to use shrimp or I'm going to use frozen whitebait.
Okay.
If I could catch small pinfish like silver dollar size or like 2.5-inch pinfish, even the little silver jennies, I'm going to use those too. They work extremely well for those guys.
And when you're buying frozen white bait,
mm-hmm.
they're called pilchards, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But they're soft, they're mushy, they fall off the hook fairly easy, but they work extremely well.
Because
I'm just doing a split shot on it and casting it up current and letting it slowly drift down.
They're apparently delicious somehow.
Soft, oily.
If you're a snapper.
Soft, oily, and fulfilling, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. Just remember, you do have to use inline circle hooks when you're fishing with those.
If you're standing in a boat?
No, in waters of the Gulf of Mexico, which that's connected to the Gulf of Mexico. Doesn't matter whether you're on a boat or on land.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
The way that law was written...
It's very poorly written.
When they initially came out with it, yes, it was very poorly written. Then they made some adjustments to it once they realized how poorly written it was. So yes, you could have initially said that from the first reading that you, if you were on land, you did not need to, but it's been changed.
Okay, I was not aware, so I learned something new. Yay, day's fulfilled. I'm gonna go take a nap.
You got work to do, Robert.
Yeah.
This is just the easy part.
Uh huh.
All right, let's talk about the Myakka River area from the bridge down to Marker 8. What's going on down that way?
No reports at all for down there.
Okay, then we'll go into the South Gulf Cove canals.
Ooh, got no reports there either.
None?
None.
No.
They haven't been giving us much reports for there.
I get
it. This whole winter has been terrible for reports there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they had that big fish kill. And I think we've talked about this, but they did open it up to let a lot of water flow through over the last couple of weeks. So I'm hoping to see some better reports out of there. We just got to get some people to tell you what's going on there.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's all. That's all we need.
Just a couple of reports.
Yeah. How about the West Wall?
West Wall, there's actually quite a few redfish over there up underneath the bushes and at the mouths of the creeks. Quite a few small snook. And then there has been some cobia and ladyfish cruising basically the bar on the outside edge of a bar. I haven't heard of anyone catching any legal cobia off of it, but they are seeing them at least.
Okay.
And that's about it.
I wish I could see them, because I've cruised that bar several times now, mostly with people coming out of South Gulf Cove, and I have not seen anything that looked anything like a cobia. I haven't seen any schools of ladyfish over there. I haven't seen any kind of good activity at all.
There's no schools of ladyfish. It's just one here, one there, but it's enough.
Okay.
For the guys that are looking for bait, going out there and just kind of idling along, trolling a little lip plug or a little bucktail.
I gotcha.
And picking up one here, one there.
Okay. Well, I'm used to seeing, you know, actually physically watching the schools of fish when they're out there. You know, they're down there closer to the bottom, but they're cruising along. And when I see them, that's when I usually would fish for them.
Right.
I haven't seen any of that happening.
No. Still too early for that.
I gotcha. I'm a little impatient.
I know you are. So are most people.
I need action, Robert. How about the Cape Hayes
Bar? Find a different hobby.
No, I just keep finding different spots.
Oh, okay. Cape Hayes has been terrible. I have not had any decent reports off of Cape Hayes at all in weeks.
Okay.
Just not much happening there.
Okay. I saw about a 35-foot boat go across it yesterday.
Nice. Yeah, she made it across, huh?
He did.
That's surprising.
Didn't check the condition of the bottom of the hull. Look what his keel looked like there, but he did get across.
That's pretty impressive.
Yep. I would not have recommended that to him, but, you know. The Turtle and Bull Bay areas.
Turtle and Bull Bay. Been very quiet in there. I mean, just mostly because everyone's chasing everything else, but the few reports I've had have been redfish and snook. A few bonnet heads. A couple of people have seen a couple larger sharks swimming around inside of there. A guy did get into some mangrove snapper right there at Gallagher's Cut and caught several spade fish and one sheep's head.
Okay.
But
I can tolerate that.
Kind of the only real report I've had.
Okay. Well, we've definitely seen some big snook moving around in there. They haven't been exactly actively feeding. And even when you know where they're hanging out underneath the trees, they haven't been exactly actively feeding there. But there's definitely some fish in there. So it's just a matter of hitting them at the right time.
I think the evening time's the better time right now for them.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's difficult to convince people to go out in the evenings most of the time. You know, morning is the time to fish, Robert.
Yeah, I don't know. Like right now, I think that we're in that prime time, so morning and evening can be pretty good. But
in the middle of the day is typically slow.
Yeah, but the evening can be really good just because it's now quiet.
Yes.
You've had several hours of everything sitting still, no boats running over their head, stuff like that. And with as clear as the water is, those fish are very leery right now.
Oh, they definitely are. And that's the thing that I'm trying to drive across these people is, listen, you want to catch these fish. You can't just drive up to the spot and say, okay, well, I know that the fish are here. Oh, there's one. Let me throw a bait in front of his face. It's not how this is going to work. You know, he's going to look at that. He's going to look at you and he's going to say, I don't think I want to do that.
Right.
No. Gotta be a little sneakier than that.
A little bit.
So, moving on to Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Well, let's see. There's been some scattered sharks around the whole area there. Spanish mackerel that you seem to not be able to catch.
Oh, no.
Along
we
with several other
failed.
People. Several other people have had a hard time catching them there. It's like the Spanish mackerel have been really a pain in the butt for a lot of people. So the majority of the people that are catching them are actually just slow trolling along blindly and hooking one here, one there. But when they're actually super concentrating on it or seeing bait or fishing around a scum line or seeing some popping activity, not overly successful.
Yeah. I was borderline embarrassed by our failure to catch Spanish mackerel because we're in where the mackerel are. The mackerel are literally jumping. We're watching them come up and arc through the air. There's no question about what's here. It's okay. Well, you know, how are we going to catch them? Well, we're in the middle of this school of fish, so let's try casting and see how that works rather than troll through and scare them away. All right, so we're casting with my standard 3-inch DOA paddle tail, which almost everything eats almost all the time.
Yep.
Not doing anything with that. We're trying to let it sink down deep. We're trying to fish it closer to the top. We're going fast. We're going slow. We're steady reeling. We're twitching, even though I don't like twitching with Spanish mackerel because they cut you off more. Nothing. We're also fishing a small spoon because I figure the bait they're on is probably little. So I got a little 2.5-inch spoon with a single hook on the back. They're not interested in that. Again, slow, fast, deep, shallow. And I went to the silly jig. Silly jigs are heavy. They cast a long distance, but they're small. They do a great job of imitating small bait fish. Tried a yellow one and a white one. And nope, they don't care. So I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to have to troll. So we troll, and we troll, and we troll, and I'm trolling at 3 knots, and I'm trolling at 5 knots, and I'm trolling at 7 knots, and we're trolling baits close to the boat, we're trolling baits far back away from the boat, nothing. So we gave up in frustration.
Yeah.
I guess the thing we didn't try was offering them little live baits. So
yeah, but even then the guys have been having a tough time, whether they're throwing out shrimp or white bait, they're just having a hard time catching them all together.
Yeah
not consistent, not by any stretch.
But I am not accustomed to Spanish mackerel being that hard to catch. Usually that's like your old reliable fish.
Yes.
Where it's like, hey, we can't get anything else to play, let's go catch some mackerel.
Yep.
So yeah, frustrating for sure.
Definitely.
Switch to bow fishing. Actually, you know, wing shooting them when they jump, that'd probably be a lot of fun.
Might be.
I don't know if it's fully legal.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You see that? You get a smoked mackerel fillet and it's full of birdshot.
Yeah, nice. Never mind the bones. Watch out for the buckshot.
Yeah. Watch out for lead. Gasparilla sound. What's going on in there?
That's actually been pretty good all the way through there. Fishing along the shorelines, they're catching redfish and snook. Move out into that 5 to 7 feet of water, they're getting ladyfish, sharks, trout. Seeing some occasional tarpon coming through there that are moving towards the passes. And that's about it. But I mean, it's a good mix match. I mean, black tips, black nose, bulls. One guy did catch a nurse shark over there by a sandfly.
Okay.
About a 6-footer. What else? You know, and the reds have been of assorted sizes. Most of them are in the lower slot size from 18 to 24 inch range. You know, and doing well on shrimp, cut bait. A lot of paddle tails are working well. There's been quite a few puffer fish there too.
Hmm.
So.
Typical.
Yeah, normal.
All right, we'll move on. Talk to me about the Placida area, the pier, which doesn't exist, but you can still fish it from the boat. The trestle, the Coral Creek Pier, which does exist, and you can go fish it right now. And associated areas.
Well, I would stay every bit away from there personally through this weekend.
Well, that big concert's out there today.
Yeah, so. I'd still stay away from it for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
But
in fact, I think the concert's getting started right about now. Yeah.
Mangrove snapper. Lots of mangrove snapper. Some sharks. The snook have been around all the docks and around the pier, broken down piers themselves. And that's about it. But I know the mangrove snapper have been doing really good around those.
Okay.
It's just a matter of fighting off flipper. And so it'll be fighting off flipper and boats.
Yeah.
A little too dangerous for me to want to be out there.
Yeah.
No, the closest I'd want to get to would be standing on top of the bridge watching the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a realistically safe place to be.
Yes.
But I don't know. All right. Then let's go on to Lemon Bay. Stump Pass, Milton Pass, Lemon Bay Park, Indian Mound Park, and anything else you can think of on or around the bay. Go ahead, Robert. Tell us all the reports you've got.
None. None.
I wonder if it amuses anybody else when I do a long intro knowing that you have no reports for that area. Is it just for me? Or
even Bill from the Inglewood Fishing Club sends me at least 2 reports a week, and how often do they say anything on there about Lemon Bay?
I don't know.
You see them too.
Do I actually take the time to look at them?
Not every day, yeah. But I'm sure you do once in a while. And how often does it come up?
Not very often.
Very rarely.
Well, this is where we would talk about the Anger Pier, but you know there is no Anger Pier, so that means we're going to move on to the Gulf, bottom fishing and trolling out on the reefs and wrecks.
Most everybody I know has been heading out to like 60 to farther out. So 60 to 100 feet of water, they're catching some lanes, but the further you go, the more lanes and the bigger the lanes are getting, along with some mangrove snapper. There are barracuda showing up on some of the near shore reefs. It's been scattered, but they are showing up out there. And then in that 100 to 130 feet of water is the red grouper. And if you get out to 140 feet, bigger red grouper. And everyone's been asking about red snapper because the season opens and they all think they're all going to run 80 feet, you know, 80 feet of water or whatever. And I tell them that they have to start in 140 feet of water.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to catch small red snapper that aren't going to be a whole lot bigger than your mangrove snapper that you catch out there, then you start in about 120 feet of water. But if you want something that's in the double digits pound wise, you got to go out starting 140 feet of water.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that when you're in that shallow stuff, and it is mostly those smaller reds, mm-hmm. it's kind of random hopscotched fish.
Yes.
You don't catch them in stacks of fish like we do with the larger ones out in deeper water. So
I think that would be better, though, for the safety of the fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do burn through a lot of fish, weeding them out.
They do.
That one's a little small. Let's try to catch a bigger one.
They do.
You know.
You know, and yeah. Descending gear helps a lot here.
Yeah.
You know, those fish are much better off being descended than they are being vented. But descending fish is a hassle. It takes time. And you've got to basically put somebody on the descending gear. And that's what they're going to do. They're not really going to get to do much fishing. So unless you take turns with who's the descender guy, you know, it's it really is a pain. And I totally get that. But, you know, from a conservation standpoint, way, way better to descend those fish than it is to vent them or do nothing at all, which a lot of people do still.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I would say that if you wanted quality fish, 170 to 200 feet is not really out of the question here.
No, not at all. My suggestion is hire a captain to take you out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely a good way to do that because, you know, go ahead. Look on the internet. Find yourself some spots in 170 to 200 feet of water. Let me know how you do. So this is find the fish rather than, you know, try to look up spots. So you've got to be able to spot hunt. You've got to know what you're doing out there to find those spots. You've got to know what you're looking for to find those fish stacked up, which is not, honestly, really, truly not that hard. It is time consuming, though.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's a doable thing.
It is.
But, you know, for most people who are unfamiliar with going out to that distance at all, you know, this is all 100% new territory for them. So, you know, it makes it a little freaky. New fish, new places to go, totally unfamiliar with being that far out. Don't know what a spotted dolphin is. You know, the one good thing about this is every time red snapper season rolls around, it does entice some people to go further offshore. and explore those areas out there and just gets us more familiar with it. So yes. I suppose that's a positive.
It is. I don't do it.
No?
I'll hire a captain. That's not fine. That I have a boat to do it with anyway, but I would prefer to go out there with a captain.
Well, I'm not arguing your logic, sir. Moving on. The Venice jetties and the Venice pier. The north jetty is open, the south jetty is closed, but you can fish it from a boat, and the pier is partially open. What are we hearing?
The jetties, mangrove snapper. Some Spanish mackerel have been coming through on occasion. An occasional shark. And at night, they've been getting some bigger snook. And then off of the Sharky's Pier, they've been getting some whiting, some spade fish. A few Spanish mackerel been around there, too. And that's about it that I've heard of.
Okay. Then that's what we'll take. All right, that moves us on to the passes, starting with Punarasa.
I got nothing.
Redfish Pass.
Nothing.
Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass had snook on it, around it, right along the shoreline. Personally witnessed them on Wednesday. There has been some tarpon rolling through there sporadically. And that's it.
All right. How about Boca Grande Pass?
Oh, let's see. The snapper is starting to move in there if you're willing to go in there and fight the chaos. Because it is pretty much exclusively all tarpon fishermen. And that's just NASCAR fishing. So it's just not much fun to go in there to try to target other stuff.
And, you know, most of the time it's actually okay. Because the areas that we prefer to snapper fish are not usually the preferred tarpon spots. But
except for this year.
Except for this year.
This year they've been hanging more on that south side and then the center south side than they have anywhere else.
Yep.
So, yeah. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know either. It was a little weird to see how evenly broken the tarpon fleet was out there the other day.
Yeah.
Where literally half the boats are over there, where the mangrove snapper usually are. And then the other half of the boats are all the way on the other side of the pass, right over by the lighthouse.
Yep.
There's nobody in the middle.
Nope.
So we decided to drive through the middle. And guess what we saw?
Tarpon.
Tons of tarpon. Tarpon rolling, tarpon on the bottom, tarpon all over the place. It's like, what are you guys doing all over there and all over here when there's a mess ton of tarpon right here underneath us?
Because those tarpon move around a lot.
Yep.
The other day they were ping-ponging big time. They were not staying concentrated at all.
I figured that's what they were doing, was moving back and forth, side to side, just to mess with everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Keep them under control or keep tabs on them.
Yep, I think so. I don't think they like the pinging of the fish finders, personally.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But what do I know? Moves us on to the surf fishing, walking the Gulf beaches.
Well, let's see. The only two reports I've had have been from Line Pass or Middle Beach. And a little bit. One guy went up to, Boca Grande, walking in there. They were getting whiting, a couple of redfish, seeing lots of snook. One guy did catch a pompano. Two people caught trout out there. And they're seeing some Spanish mackerel. They're seeing the occasional tarpon swimming by. One guy saw what he thought was a cobia or a shark. He couldn't tell. He said it wasn't overly big. It was about 3 foot long. Hmm. That's about it. But the whiting have been the real big thing at both those places.
Right.
I mean, like, people are talking about catching like 3/4 of a pound to a 1 pound whiting out there, which is nice.
That's a good size fish.
Yeah.
I talked to a guy who parked on one of the streets heading south from the Englewood Public Beach,
okay,
where you do actually have legal access. Most people aren't aware of that. But he wanted to walk down toward Milton Pass and see what he could do. Now, I don't know about the legality of walking into Stump Pass Park, which is still closed, but regardless, he did it anyway, and walked all the way down to Milton Pass. And he said he caught 2 small flounder, half a dozen ladyfish, including one that he described as being as long as his arm, which I don't believe was actually as long as his arm, but I believe a pretty good-sized ladyfish, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he saw a couple of sharks there in close. Little guys, couldn't tell what they were, but he wasn't rigged for shark fishing, so he didn't bother trying.
Not surprising. I know last week they caught quite a few bonnet heads out there, but I haven't heard of any this week.
All right, that moves us up to the Matt Lachey Indian Field Smokehouse Bay area. What do you got?
I got nothing.
Excellent. Then we'll move on to Pine Island Sound, Rat and Cat Keys, Mondongo, and Patricio.
I can tell you what I saw, but I haven't had any reports from down there either.
Okay.
We were drifting down there looking for tarpon in that 7 to 10 feet of water, mm-hmm. just south of Yuseppa. And the amount of giant trout cruising through the flats there in that deep water was pretty impressive, because I'm asking him, what is that? What is that? What is that? He says, trout. That's another trout. Hey, that's another trout too. I mean, I could see the fish. I just couldn't tell they were trout.
Right.
You know, it was pretty crazy how many good-sized trout were out there in that 7 to 10 feet of water.
Yeah, and that jibes with our experience down there of getting into trout mostly deeper. Because I was expecting to see trout, you know, where they've been in that 2 to 4 feet of water. And they weren't in the 2 to 4 feet of water. We did a couple drifts and got literally nothing on those drifts. So it's like, okay, well, after I just finished telling you where I expect the trout to be, well, what's the other thing that I tell you? That the fish are the ones who really decide where they're going to be. So let's try deeper. And right. So we tried deeper, and we immediately were connecting with fish. And then we tried a little deeper still, and both our numbers and our quality went up. We were catching spotted and sand sea trout. The sands don't have any speckles on them. Mm-hmm. So if you catch an unspotted sea trout and you're like, hey, he's missing his spots, it's not an unspotted sea trout, it's a sand trout.
Right.
Otherwise, same teeth, same yellow mouth, same body shape, same everything, just no spots. And we did catch one that was one spotted sea trout that was 23 inches.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Don't see too many that size out there. Mm-mm. So.
Not at all.
So, yeah, trout are deep.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's the only place where there's grass.
No. Beautiful grass in the shallow stuff. They just weren't there. I have no answers for you.
Neither do I.
Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Nothing.
No reportos.
We saw lots of bait when we drove past there.
Okay.
There were schools of little thread fins and white bait mixed together, and then several schools of bigger thread fins mixed around, but not tarpon-sized thread fins, but like 3 to 4 inch size.
Okay.
That was it. That's all we saw.
Isn't a tarpon-sized thread fin a tarpon?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Made you blink.
Mm-hmm.
Burnt store in Two Pines.
A lot of snook. Quite a few redfish all up along the bushes. Two different customers tell me the fish that they're catching down there have been really nice. They're getting out first thing in the morning, only fishing for a couple hours in the morning, and then coming back because it's so blooming hot down in there.
Right, so they're already home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're catching them on shrimp, and one of our customers, he just throws strictly exclusively the Little John, the mirror lure Little John, and does really well on the redfish and the snook down there.
What is it about that Little John that a redfish likes?
I think it looks like a pipefish.
Yeah?
It's the only thing it resembles to me. And I know enough people have cleaned redfish over the years where they find them where they're stacked full of pipefish.
Yeah, I guess. Very fat pipefish.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I wonder if any of the fly guys use a pipefish imitation.
I don't know.
Anybody tie their own flies?
Yeah, I know
just an idea.
I know a couple.
Okay, then sliding north to the east side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
Kind of the same thing. Still snook and redfish up there because the same guys fish in those areas too. Because they're coming right. One comes out of Pirate Harbor, the other one comes out of Burnt Store.
Okay, but again, early.
Yeah, all early morning. I mean, I'm just not getting any reports of anything else over there because most people are running past it.
Well, and I mean, we've jumped into our summer heat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the humidity yet, but the heat part, yeah, we're there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's warming up the water temperature significantly. You know, we saw 84 degrees out there the other day, and it's getting hot. So.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with that. Not directly standing in it.
Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
We got nothing over there.
Okay. I'll bet there's some good-sized snapper in the creek.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there is.
Somebody just take the time to fish for them.
Yep.
I'll bet there's some good ones over there by Buckley Pass, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fish in the pass. There's too much boat traffic moving through there, but the docks nearby.
Yeah.
Probably are holding some pretty good ones.
Yeah. Same way with the way of the entrance going over there to Burnstour Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
That area, too.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Ponce de Leon Park.
A lot of snapper. People are seeing snook. People have seen a few black drum and some jacks coming through, but mostly they're talking about the snapper they're catching. Yeah, I guess the Game and Fish was out there 2 weeks ago and busted several guys.
Good.
Which is good, but they're not out there often enough. They could sit there all day long and write tickets.
They really could. All right, moves us on to the PGI canals and generalized Punta Gorda area.
Lots and lots of snook. A lot of little snook. People are seeing some bigger snook around their lights, but just mostly small snook.
So it's mostly peanut snook?
Yeah. I mean, they're seeing them up to like 25, 28 inches, but not.
So what do you call that? Is that like a walnut snook?
I'm just going to still call them small snook or peanut snook.
Now what about a big one? Would that be like a coconut snook?
Sure.
Because, I mean, if we're using your nut scale, I just don't know where to go when they get a little bigger.
Okay. I have no idea.
You're the one who came up with it. Yeah. I've never heard anybody talk about a peanut snook except for you.
Peanut snook? Just like peanut dolphin.
Okay, that I've heard of.
Okay.
But do you ever say a peanut redfish? A peanut trout?
Rat redfish.
Uh-huh. What do you call a little trout?
Trout.
Troutling? Troutlet? Troutski?
I don't know.
Nobody ever calls it a peanut trout.
It's because it's pretty much all you catch is little trout. Since when did a gator trout become 18 inches?
You're changing the subject.
You're the one that's splitting frog hairs, too, with nuts.
Frogs don't have nuts. Gilchrist Pier. Oh, in Jesus. There, so there's not much point in talking about
it. Nope.
Alligator Creek Reef.
I got nothing out there. Not a lot of people have been fishing it since the storm.
Very few.
And you know, I don't know why.
I see a couple people at the north end, and it may be one boat at the south end, but that's all I ever see.
Even the cobia guys that usually fish for cobia out there,
mm-hmm.
and one of them I know very well, and he said he's not catching anything anytime he goes by.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to the reef, but it's not holding the bait like it normally does. You know, we got the bait out there in the harbor. It's scattered all around, and typically when I do that with people, it's like, okay, we're going to hit the upper 20-foot hole here and see what's going on. If nothing's happening there, then we'll veer over here to Alligator Creek Reef because that usually has some activity. Then we bounce back over towards the middle hole. I've quit with bouncing back over to Alligator Creek Reef unless they need to learn how to read their bottom machine because it's never there. Nothing's ever there.
Right.
It's just...
What's the structure like since the storm? Have you gone back over there since that first time?
I have. It's settled back down.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's not as high as it was, but the structure looks great. I mean, it's cleaned off. Go out there with a side scan, and you're reading everything. And there's tons of stuff out there. It looks like it should be just loaded with fish. It's scattered a little bit from what it was, so there's more stuff outside of the rectangle.
Right.
Mostly to the east of the rectangle. But it's not holding anything. I don't get it. I have no explanation.
Strange.
So what you're saying is no reports to the Alligator Creek Reef. All right. Then that moves us to the 20-foot holes.
A few sharks. Other than that, just the occasional spattering of bait, but nothing exceptional.
No, they're out there. There's jacks, there's mackerel, there's ladyfish. We've seen them. But the problem is that it's so thin. The bait is scattered so far out that you watch the birds, and the birds are hunting, hunting, hunting. And they find little pockets, and they dive on it, and then they're right back to hunting. So you could run and gun out there all day and maybe or maybe not even connect with a fish.
Right.
But they're definitely out there. What I haven't tried is, and what I know I should try, is anchoring and chumming.
Yeah.
And the reason that I haven't is because every time I've thought about that, I was like, it's gonna get hot sitting right here in this one spot. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. So, but getting out there early or late would kind of mitigate that problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think somebody who was willing to go out there first light, you've probably got a couple of amazing hours in front of you if you get out to where some of that bait is and start chumming to hold it in place. Because I'll bet you could just draw the whole food chain right to you.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
But, I mean, you need to be in the spot, ready to go, as light's coming on. So you want to be out there at 6:15. And I'm planning to leave at 9. start driving somewhere else. Turn that AC on.
Yes. Yeah. Nope. Got nothing to do with that.
All right. Let's talk about the bait fish reports.
Marker 2, a little bit. Marker 1, a little bit. Most of the guys are, you know, there's even been some by the beach complex, but they are working very hard at it to find it. And then there has been more bait down towards Boquilla.
Okay.
That's where the majority of the guys seem to be finding it, but that's nothing special. I'm just not burning up 2 hours of my daytime fishing to go find bait.
And then, of course, the scattered threadies all through the harbor.
Well, there's a lot of scattered threadies in with that white bait, too. So it's a lot of little threadies that you're killing in the process of trying to find your white bait. And I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. I gotcha.
I just want to go fishing.
Let's talk about the freshwater report.
It sucks.
It's dry. It's hot.
Dry, hot, no rain, no moving water. If you want to go to the Everglades, that's doing good. But up on our end, if I was going to go, I'd throw shiners and find a nice shady spot and sit back. Yeah. Other than that, I'm not messing with it.
And the Everglades fishing is fishing in a barrel right now.
Yeah.
Because that's literally the only place the fish can go. Have you seen any of that stuff?
I've seen a couple of videos.
The dry out there in the Glades? Ooh.
Yeah. Like they're literally running airboats through a 4-foot-wide skeeter ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. I'm good.
Okie doke. That brings us to the last piece here, which is the tarpon reports.
Okay. The majority of your fish are in the pass. The last several days this week have been really tough. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were super slow out in the pass. They were catching fish, just not setting the world on fire. They're eating crabs pretty much exclusively. There are a few oddball fish out on the beaches. The main places I've heard of better numbers on the beaches have been from Venice north. But going out along the beaches, we went almost to the old, what do they call that? Basically, Charlie's Pass, okay. south of Captiva Pass.
Okay.
We went down to there and then worked our way all the way up to Boca along the beach. We saw one nice school of fish and then just probably a half a dozen just individual fish cruising the beach. That was it. And that's the majority of what I've been getting for reports. But all those fish have been moving into the pass. If you're out there at 4:30 in the morning till about 8 o'clock in the morning, it's doing decent. The afternoon bite has been slow. Middle of the day bite has been slow. But that's also tarpon fishing. That could change literally at any given moment where it goes back to normal. But usually those couple days to a week after a full moon, those fish sometimes get a little funky.
Yeah, and it could have changed by the time you're hearing this, because your report's not from today.
Yeah, no, so, that was yesterday.
And sometimes that makes all the difference when we're talking about fishing in general, but tarpon fishing in particular.
Yes.
So, still been focused on crabs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all been crabs. I mean, Danny threw thread fins. One, he threw literally smack in front of it, 8 feet in front of it. The tarpon swam right past it, wanted nothing to do with it. And then the one school that we saw that was probably about 20 or 30 fish in it, he casted a thread fin right smack in the middle of it. They wanted nothing to do with it, but they also didn't really want anything to do with our crabs either. We had one take in that school of fish, and it was only hooked on for just enough to shell the crab. I mean, the rod just barely became tight, and that was it. Didn't even put a fish in the air. So, but everything in the past that I've been hearing about, all been crabs.
All crabs.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Let's remember what Memorial Day is for. So it's not.
Are they
just
gonna remember, or are they gonna even bother to think about it?
They're gonna be too blackout drunk to think about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, we're memorializing our folks who are gone, lost in the wars.
The ones that gave us these freedoms to be able to do what we want to do.
So, it's not Veterans Day.
Nope.
You can thank a veteran if you want to, but most of them will say, hey, this is not my day.
You can thank a veteran for his friends
that he's lost.
Yep. That's what I usually do.
Yep.
So, anyway.
All right. Other than that, stay safe. Watch out for the drunky drunks out there. Remember, it is definitely amateur weekend on the water. So, keep your eyes peeled. Keep your head on a swivel. Robert, anything else to add to that?
No, that pretty much covers it. Just be careful.
All right. Well, then say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.